Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Hey, I'm KJ Delantonio, and this is the Hashtag I'm Writing podcast, the podcast about writing all the things. Short things, long things, pitches, proposals, fiction, nonfiction, memoir. Can you think of anything else? This is a podcast about finding a way to get your work done. And that's really what we're going to dig into this week. So joining me this week, my co-host, Jenny Nash.
Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm the founder and CEO of Author Accelerator. And significantly today, I am also the author of a series of books on the blueprint, which is a method of inquiry used to get your story out of your head and onto the page. And in this episode, we're talking about a tool that is part of the fiction blueprint called the inside outline. And we're talking about KJs.
Right. And I am KJ Delantonio. I am the author of 3 novels, The Chicken Sisters in Her Boots and Playing the Witch Card, and hopefully at some point in the relatively near future, the author of a 4th novel. Well, I'll definitely be the author of a 4th novel. Whether anyone ever gets to read it, totally another question. But yeah, we're going to talk about me using the inside outline, which is a big part of the blueprint, to revise. So thank you, Jenny, for looking at this outline, which I texted you about like 3 days ago and was like, I've finally, for the first time, written an inside outline that I think largely meets the qualifications for inside outline without you, if that makes any sense. And
yeah. I was so excited to hear it because you struggle. What's interesting is that the inside outline is meant to solve the exact thing you struggle with, which is the plot and the plot and the plot and the plot and mm-hmm. all the plot and the plot. And let me give you more plot and
mm-hmm. and here and what about this and what if this happens and this is why this happens. So we better stick that in there.
And I was so excited to see it. So, of course, I begged you to let me see it, which was really
and cool. I was thrilled. It was not a secret plea for help, but I was delighted. So I am in this context, I'm using the inside outline for revision. And there did exist one of these before I revised this. So where this manuscript is I've written it again, I've sent it to my agent. She's had thoughts. I gave it to a freelance editor that I paid. She had other thoughts. They caused me to conclude that I was hanging up my pencil and never, ever writing again. Certainly not this book. Everyone in my world laughed at me. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, I was like, okay, she's right. So her thought, and she was right, was that I had too much backstory in the present. And that we needed to put the backstory in the past. So the structure that I settled on was that half the book is dual timeline. And then when you hit the point when you understand how the timelines intersect, the past timeline ends. So the first, I think, let's just look at it. Two-thirds, a little less. Maybe, but yeah, right after the middle, you get this thing that should, if I've done this right, make you go, oh, I get it, and explain a lot of things, but not things that are agonizing. And the cool thing is that you didn't know any of this.
I came to this so cold. I mean, I knew the premise and the title, but I didn't know anything else. I didn't know the people, what their relationships were, what their context of their life is. I knew nothing. So that's why I love this tool. It's the best tool because you can see the whole, and that's the thing. You can see the whole thing. Whole meaning whole.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can also see the holes.
You can also see the holes, but it's seeing in such a short period of time, just like, boom, oh, I see what she's trying to do. And your present, past works just beautifully. Like, but I want to, before we get into it, I want to go back to something you just said, because it's really important. You were in this despair of hanging up your pencil hard, like hard. You were in it, and it was bad, and you hated all the things you'd ever written and ever would write and all the things. Mm-hmm. So I've always said this. I think you have a unique ability to move on, to do the next thing, to take action, to not stay in that place for very long. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people get that kind of feedback, like, oh, you've written this whole thing and really you have to rewrite it again. And they crumple and stay crumpled. So can you talk about what it felt like to be crumpled and then how you got out of it?
Yeah, it didn't feel good. So I wrote and recorded for the hashtag AmWriting podcast the something called How Bad Can a Good First Draft Be? And of course, in this case, it was How Bad Can a Good, I don't know, Fifth Draft Be? And I think, so one of the things that I have just finally realized, and I mean, this will be my fourth published novel if it's published, and not the fourth one that I've written. So one of the things that I finally realized is that your draft, so people always talk about the terrible first draft and the crappy first draft and everything like that. And I always had this vague idea that that meant like, that it was written badly. I don't know, that most of the words were misspelled, the dialogue was bad, or there was a lot of explanation or like things like that. And at least for me, and the more I read of other people's early work, the more I understand that it's not just me, it's not that. If you can finish a book, you have probably read enough books and written enough things and that you can write an interesting thing among cohesive characters, you know, that has some kind of story to it. And it probably is not spelled wrong, and it probably is punctuated largely correctly. And if it's not, that's not really the problem. The problem is that, you know, you've stuck some big reveal up early, or that you've got your one character who just won't admit something till the very end, which is kind of the problem that I had. Or you've got a shit ton of backstory all wedged into the story and you need to pull it out and stick it somewhere else. And those are big problems. And unfortunately for me, in this case, it does mean I pretty much have to rewrite this whole thing. Like, I'm able to go and grab paragraphs here and there. That's about it. I think it's going to get a little better as I get on towards the end, but it just needed that. And I had to do that. I don't see myself coming to this without that process. And I mean, I hate it. And I do. I look at Serena, who, you know, spends 3 months on a book and who does get it right pretty much the first time. And I mean, that's partly because she's done it 35 times and maybe I'll be better at it then. And I think it's partly also she has a really clear idea in mind of what the structure is that she's going for. I think she's a little better about not writing a full draft before she messes it.
Unusually intense genius around the particular thing we're talking about, which is structuring a book. Like, she can see it and hold it in her head and rearrange it in her head. And I think truly that is a skill that a lot of people don't have and will never have. It's really something. And she's something.
Yeah, no, it's true. And she's the one that taught me to say, to realize, well, the problem here is that this reveal is coming too soon, or that it's coming too late, and that you could move those things around. And as huge as they sound, actually, those are not always that big a problem. I have two problems here, and one of them is that's the reason this is an almost total rewrite. One of them is that the first two-thirds of the book needs to be in dual timelines, and the other is that I wrote a protagonist who was so so caught up in the past that she wasn't revealing anything of herself in the present. So all the present scenes that I wrote, because they're in first person, kind of need to, even the same things happen, but you can't really, I don't know. I'm only, this is awful. My agent wanted to see something today.
Didn't happen, huh?
Well, let's just say there are 30 chapters planned and I'm on the fourth one. And it's 4:30. So I think the odds of her getting this today are really slim. And I have yet to cook dinner and I have 6 guests in my house. So.
But you could send her this.
I could and I may. Or she may not want to, like, we'll talk about it. It's fine. She's not going to, you know, she was just hopeful. I was pretty realistic with her a week ago when she suggested this. I'm shooting for the end of this month at this point. But anyway, there are bits I'm going to be able to pull out. Like, I can see them coming, but especially the beginning is requiring a pretty full rewrite.
So you realize that the editor you sent it to was right. You have to do this dual timeline thing. You resolve finally out of your despair. Okay, I'm going to do it. And you turn to this tool, which I love that you're using this tool at this time. It's so good for this time. And why did you feel, I guess maybe I should ask, when did you feel when you're putting this tool together? So I'm looking at it. I think it's at 6 pages.
Mm-hmm. I feel good about 6 pages too. There exists a version of this that is, I think, 18 pages, but it has a lot of like clumps of dialogue and like really long descriptions of what happens in a chapter that are super useful. Actually, what I'm doing right now is taking the chunks, the little sentences out of this, plus the bigger chunks when I have them out of the other thing, and I put them on one side of my screen and I put it open a doc on the other side and I write. But yeah, I knew I needed to do this, but it's funny, I kept having to, like, especially the middle, I kept having to write a long chunk to figure out where the shorter, you know, what the meat was. And then when I went in to do this, what I had described, like what in my long outline was a lot of the times something that I thought was one chapter became 3. Because when I described it as like a little, this is what happens and this is sort of the emotional result, which isn't really the way I write it, but I did, it came out that way. And then I would be like, no, this is where this stops. And then we need to, so it got different.
Yeah.
When I put it in this form.
6 pages at this stage in your process is fantastically concise because the whole story is here in these 6 pages. So you're writing this, and at what point did you realize, like, oh, I got this?
As I'm in the middle, I'm gonna open the other document just so I can tell you how long it is. It's called Loose Outline. There it is. Oh, here it is. It's 30 pages.
Oh, God. Well, you know what?
It's 30 pages.
That's what you sometimes need to do. So
it has stuff like, where are they? Still on the Cape? Is it before the wedding? He goes from wanting this to wanting that. So what does he reveal to her? And then there's like a little bullet list. And what is situation with Dad? Like, oh, and then I've got this all caps. Keep it clean and simple. But at some point and some of this is me. I have a Remarkable and you can write in handwriting and then have it turn that to text. And I did that for like a solid week, just free flow. And I did have it turn into, so all that's heaved in there. But at some point I started trying to make it into chapters and it got to about 2/3 of the way through. And that's kind of where, well, that's where the past ends. And so we hook up with the current draft pretty much. And at that point I was able to, like, suddenly it was like one line per chapter. I mean, they were lines that would only I would understand, like, you know, he tells her or whatever. And at that point, that was when I realized I was ready to come out and get an open up a new document and make this so that I could refer back to it. The other reason that this is important to me is that I will get caught up in a scene and write it really long. And if I know what has to be in a chapter and I kind of know that I better not have more than at most 3,500 words, sometimes I can turn that off.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So something that I noticed in reading through it was, I mean, I love a back and forth and a back and forth, whether it's time or POV or, you know, I love it. And this has a lot of narrative drive. There's,
yay!
Right? There's a lot of propulsive energy with the back and forth. And the drive is toward this moment when we're going to know something about the pasts, and then the stories are the same on the
screen. I want to talk about creating this. I mean, yeah, it's 6 pages, and I think in the blueprint it's supposed to be 3.
Let me clarify that. When you are starting an idea, I insist on 3, but yeah, when you're using it for revision, I really like what you've done here. It's perfect.
Well, I want to talk about, so when I wrote these, you know, we've worked together on a couple of drafts, on a couple of books, but not this one. And so I wrote this for me, and yet I wanted it to have enough in it that, well, I needed it to have enough in it for me to really see like the 3 important things that happened in a chapter. And I needed to make sure that that narrative drive was there and that the past would slot in. And as I did it and slotted the past in, like I said, I ended up breaking things up a little bit more so that they would slot in. And the process of reducing it to those really, I think the longest one is, I'm just looking, was like, I don't know, it's 8 sentences. No, they're not long. And the process of breaking it down, you know, enabled me to see how they related. But what I want to say here is that when I used to do this for you, like if we go all the way back to the Chicken Sisters, I just remember sitting there and just being pissed.
Because yeah, you didn't like it.
I had to boil it down so tightly. And then I kept going. And then sometimes you would ask me what I felt were really annoying questions. Like, well, you know, does she know that this is happening? And I was like, well, if you give me more room, I could tell you that.
And I remember this.
It would be really infuriating for me. I wrote this one, and you did email me after you read it and say, well, I need, so you emailed me and you had some questions, and they were primarily things like, wait, is Jack a brother or a dad? And it was because I would only use somebody's first name, you know, once in the course of this outline, because I wrote it for me. But you had remarkably few questions, even though you knew nothing other than the very bare premise of this story.
The story is on the page. That's the thing, is the story is on the page. And the primary questions that I have, the questions I emailed you were about context, so I could understand what was in your
outline. And that was okay. They weren't annoying. Like they made total sense. And I could tell, I could feel the difference between these questions and the ones that I used to get upset about. These were just like, you couldn't, you know, and I don't know, like some backstory questions about what the person's business was, like that kind of thing. It was not, and that left the real questions, which are,
yes,
are good existing questions. The one that I love is that you highlighted something like a small detail that I had thrown into one of the early couple sentence things. And you said, does this have a story consequence? And the answer is yes. So, like, I saw that. And when I felt like the answer was yes, I was like, oh, yeah, I finally got this. And I see, like, I've used it before and it's worked for me before, but I've never used it and shown it to you and felt it work in this way. So that was super fun.
It was really fun. And I want to talk about that, not the detail of it, but this is chapter 1. And, you know, chapter 1, well, we're now doing chapter one or first page reviews on the podcast. And it's just so important. So much has to go well on the first page and the first chapter. It's all baked in there. It's all, the groundwork is laid, all the things. So, you know, this I'm looking, 5-sentence description of that chapter is critical. And I know particularly, I know you well now, your mind, you're very good at generating plot. You're very complex. Like I was teasing you about it before, but so many things going on in one moment and one scene and one this and one that, which is why your books are good. But when doing this work, sometimes it's just, it's overwhelming. And what I could see here was an economy of, you're choosing, you're making really specific choices. And so when I saw this detail that I asked about, does this have a story consequence? Mm-hmm. I was worried, oh, this is just KJ throwing in a fun thing.
That has a huge story consequence. In fact, it's the entire reason that that character does the thing that like really just, it destroys everything. So it has a huge story consequence. And I just, that was really, and the fact that you can't see that doesn't matter. It's not, you know, the fact that isn't as clear in the outline as it could be is just because it was, the detail is about a specific word, you know, what thing that she says, and then the thing that happens, you can't really tell that those are related. It's fine.
Like, yeah,
I can see why you can't.
The other thing that I really liked is I could see that this is why this tool is so good. I could see exactly the places where I was worried. And there are not very many of them. But what I was worried about was, okay, the plot really works. The past, present.
Right, but is the emotion, so this is a romance, this is a rom-com, is the emotion, and I love that you're worried about it, and I'll note that it is something that the editor that I hired was also worried about it, so I'm trying to back it up, but I really appreciated having you point to some of the places where it looks like it's going too fast.
Well, and this is, there's two things about that, especially in a romance. The back and forth here is not, by the way, he said, she said. It's time-based. It's past, present. Mm-hmm. And the woman in this particular case is the protagonist of the story. It's her story, yeah, and her point of view. It turns on what she knows and doesn't know. But the love interest, I could see places where, oh, we better make sure that his arc of change is equally as strong as hers. Mm-hmm. That there, it would be easy to diminish that, and making sure you don't diminish that is going to be the difference between,
right,
one of the differences between this is good and, oh, this is really good.
Yeah, and I know his arc of change pretty well, but it is not laid out as clearly as it should be. And it'll definitely help me to lay it out more in here, which I may wait till I get to the chapters to do. But yeah, I know what his arc of change is, but it's, and also it's pretty different. The one like sort of major plot thing that I changed here is an entirely his backstory, his motivation for doing what he does is now different than it was in my earlier draft. And it's better because it gives him kind of a little bit of a ticking time bomb, and it gives him a reason for some of the stuff that he's done. But it also means that I'm going to have to make sure that I don't accidentally leave. Every so often, I will read a book and there'll be something in there and I'll go, this is from an earlier draft.
Yeah.
Like somebody else's book. And you'll be like, I can see it. Like, you know, the person will have some, I don't know, catastrophic interaction with a bicycle that has nothing to do. And you're just like, they're earlier. I'll bet you. Sometimes I'll like write Serena and I'll be like, I'll bet you anything that this person had like, you know, a bicycle backstory that they cut and they just forgot to. So yeah, I got to make sure that his.
Well, the other thing that I really could see very clearly, you just mentioned this, is when you lay a story out like this in a tight space and you can step back and view the whole thing as a whole entity, that idea of the narrative drive and where it goes fast and where it goes slow and where the emotional resonance is going to come, that it becomes really easy to see, which you cannot see in an 18
in an $80,000 graft or in 18 pages. Yeah.
Right. You can't. And so the compression, I insist on it so much, is because that allows you to see. And in your case, I think there were about 3 points, and they're all the big, big, big moments. It was like, wait, can you hold this tension a tiny bit longer? It's that idea of the rise and fall of the tension. And in this case, who knows what, when, that the reader's going to feel in their gut when they're reading, right? So you're propelling, but then, if you just hold this back, it's not even very long in some cases. Maybe just make this its own scene, or
go back to the earlier scene and start something a little faster. And I think in one of the places where you said that, I've already realized it's actually 2 chapters.
Good.
Or that a chunk of it that is something that often happens to me, is that the thing that was the last line of one of these needs to move into the next chapter. It's just like everything kind of gets bumped for, even in like the first chapter one, the last 3 clauses of the first sentence actually moved to the next chapter.
And I love that use of this tool as well, is that that's often what we're talking about, is the little resolution of an emotion or clarifying where a character finally realizes X or finally sees Y, or oftentimes moving that to the next scene. That's all it takes to make that tension. It's that page turniness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh no, it's not a cliffhanger per se.
It's the next logical following action. And often I find myself just needing to put that, to move that forward. And now that I'm actually, back in this and draft. So the other reason that this is 6 pages instead of 3, I could make this 3 pages now. The other reason is that this is for me. I didn't write it for you. And I needed to see, I need the and I'm not going to, that would not be useful. Well, it might be, but I'm not going to do it. No, I need to see that these are the details that need to go in. So for example, that one that you called out and said, does this have a story consequence? It absolutely does. And I need it in there. So I tried to pop in or sometimes it's like a little special thing that I just want to make sure I don't forget.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and there's one other tiny thing I want to mention for listeners that I think might be helpful. I mean, it's helpful for all of us, which is this allowed me to see one, I think, critical place. It's in 29, where who has agency when the big things happen? Is
right.
Something that you can see in an outline this like this. And there was one moment, I don't want to say very much, that's why I'm saying
no. Yeah, I
where it's just like,
well, her friend gives her a thing that maybe you think she should discover for herself.
Right. That we want to see the characters making choices and decisions that impact their what they want and whether or not they're going to get it.
Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of times I see this when I review inside outlines, I see this a lot of times that the plot hands it to somebody rather than somebody taking action. And
right.
It's a tiny, tiny little thing at a tiny little moment, but I think it's going to have a big impact on the ending. So that's just a thing if people are looking at their own to look for is, does the protagonist have the agency over the thing that delivers the end result.
Yeah. And I think also that what's going to happen when I get actually to the end here is that it's not, I think that in the Inside outline as it is, it's not clear where the sort of real all is lost is, because I haven't, and that's something, you know, for me to know that. You know, there's a moment when she agrees to something for him, and I think that you felt like it was a resolution for the two of them, and it's not. It's her not caring about that thing. So there's actually a longer process of them being apart and coming back together than you saw, because, and that's just, it, some of it is a wording thing, and some of it is something that I need to make sure it is built the right way. So.
So tell us where you go from here. So you have this 6-page thing. You have this 18-page thing. You're supposed to get something to your agent yesterday. Or by 4:30.
So like I said, I'm pulling out this junk, the stuff in the 18-page thing, that, and I put it on one side of the page along with this little thing. And then I try to write the chapter with a close eye on word count, because I'm an overwriter. And it's really interesting, because it makes it a lot easier for me to place things that are going to work with the reveals. And for me to, it's so much easier to show, not tell, when you know what it is you're trying to show. Yeah, it's really, really, really helpful to, you know how the person is feeling about something. So, you know, I'll find myself starting to sort of describe where she is in something and then realize, oh, she's about to have this conversation with her sister. And her sister would ask about that, so we can just put it there. So I'm doing that. I'm rewriting. I am finding that I can, and this is even with 6 house guests and a really crazy summer, I'm finding I can hit 2,500 words a day because I know what I'm doing.
So it sounds like you feel really good about where the story's going, the new structure that
I
you
do.
No is now right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in 2 months, we may be recording this again with me taking the past out. Who
you
even
know.
Knows?
You
but
never
this
know.
Is the right place for this to be now. I suspect this will result in the draft that we at least try to sell. And that's kind of all I got.
That's exciting.
The most I can. It is exciting. It is exciting. And it's taking longer than I hoped it would. Things always take longer than you.
But it's really fun. And I think you're doing a great job. And you have a lot of great people who've given you good advice that you've sorted into your own.
Maybe.
Right? You've taken it into your own hands. And I think you're in good shape.
I feel pretty good. And most of all, I also just feel really excited to have sort of really finally made this work for me.
Well, I
just the fact that it worked without me giving you 2 pages of backstory. That was so important. And that's what I want to lean on for any listeners, is that when you get the Inside outline close to right, the person reading it should be able to follow the story without you giving them a 2-page synopsis before. I literally gave Jenny, and I didn't fix it up for you. You know what I fixed up? I added a parenthetical in the first chapter. That's all I added for you, because that otherwise it was really going to be incoherent. And if you can't do that, then you're still working.
Yeah,
I guess. And it didn't matter to you that you were like, wait, I don't remember who that is. Like,
no, the clarification that I needed was pretty much like, could you just give me a cast of characters? Cause I'm having a little trouble sorting a couple of them out. But
I do think if you do that before you give the person the Inside outline, the temptation to fill it, I kind of wanted to just give it to you without any of that stuff to see how much you could follow. So I would strongly encourage people to find somebody to read their Inside outline without any of that and see what they have to ask you. Because if they have to ask you like, you know, but wait, what does the wedding have to do with anything or something like that? Then, you know, you might have a bigger problem.
I love that as a test. I love that as a test. And what's so good about that is asking someone to read, if you're starting a book, it's 3 pages. If you're where KJ is, it's maybe 6 to 9 pages for revision stage. Asking someone to read that instead of, could you read my 300-page manuscript, is a much easier ask. And if for the person doing the reviewing of the inside outline, it's easy peasy. It's
And it should be, you know, kind of entertaining and
Yeah, and it's fun. I mean, this was really fun. I was like, I love it. And,
it was great for me.
Very cinematic, which is also fun. Like I could really see the scenes and I loved it. I think it's really fun. Good job.
Thank you. Now I just have to finish writing it.
Yay!
Yeah, I'll probably be done by tonight. 26 chapters. I don't know. I just have to make a steak dinner for 12 people before then. Should be nothing. I got this. There's hours left of it. All right. Well, this was great. Thank you so much. I'm going to call this the end of this particular conversation, wherever we should decide to take it.
Well, until next time, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Pause. Stop.
Stop.
Thank you.